In this episode of Movie Rollers, we review For a Good Time Call and Lawless. It's time for Movie Rollers. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
And Yazdi as well.
Movie Rollers is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Hello, hello, hello.
Greetings.
I tried to predict what Yazdi would say.
Glad tidings.
For those listening, if this feels forced, it's because we've just recorded another episode, so we're not really saying hello, we're just introducing ourselves to the show. So I made Rashmi see Dark Knight Rises again, this time in full 70mm IMAX, and if you have the opportunity to see the film in full 70mm IMAX, I'm going to post a short article on IMAX versus fake IMAX. Do go and see it. It's a spectacle.
It was. It was really good. And two things. Real IMAX was so immersive for those scenes that are shot in IMAX. And secondly, The Dark Knight Rises actually held up on second viewing, which I was surprised about.
I wasn't.
But this show isn't about The Dark Knight Rises again,
I know,
Joe.
I know. I want to do my own show all about The Dark Knight Rises. I'm devouring everything about it. I can't get enough right now.
But we're not here to talk about The Dark Knight Rises.
I mean, as a movie lover, I do want to watch, you know, the true 70mm IMAX as it was originally conceived. And I think The Dark Knight would be probably as good as any movie to experience that in. So one of these days, if I'm... So San Diego doesn't have any true IMAX movies, but there's one in Irvine. And I'm sure, Joe, you'll mention about it in your article. But yeah, I look forward to seeing that. As much as I did not... You know, absolutely fall in love with The Dark Knight.
Yeah, there's surprisingly few real IMAX theatres around. A lot of them don't actually show Hollywood movies. They're there to kind of show these, you know, short documentary-type films that require this immersive experience. But the beauty of IMAX is that it really uses a much larger negative than standard 35mm film, and it captures so much more detail. It's got a really odd aspect ratio. It's square rather than letterbox. We used to seeing things composed in the letterbox widescreen look. IMAX doesn't do that, but the clarity of the image is incredible, and the immersiveness, because it kind of wraps around you.
Yeah,
it goes beyond your field of vision to some extent.
And down as well. So it's a huge screen. It's kind of curved. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
not a sphere. It's not like looking through a cornea of an eye, but it's very immersive because all of the screen is taken up, and the screen is much, much bigger than your usual screen that you know you're exposed to.
It's like 70 feet high. It's enormous.
It's unbelievable.
Anyway, check out my article very shortly at movierollers.com. And if you're too impatient or I haven't posted it yet, do Google IMAX versus LIMAX and you'll see exactly what I talk about. It'll pull up an article by Peter Cetera of Slash Film, and it really gives a great explanation there as to...
Peter Cetera of Chicago.
Actually, Peter Cerretta, okay. Not Cetera. Did I say Cetera?
You Sorry did, about that. Yeah. I was wondering whether it was the same guy.
No, Peter Cerretta.
I'll be your hero. To the end of time.
Okay, so also for our listeners, I'm not being mean when I say Yazdi, don't sing. Please don't sing.
I could possibly be the most tone deaf person you'll ever meet. So there you go.
All right, well, let's get on with our episode. We are going to talk about two movies. First one is For a Good Time Call, and I think I'm going to give the introduction to that one. For a Good Time Call is a comedy about two former college frenemies, Lauren and Katie, who both move into a New York apartment, and in order to make ends meet, the unlikely pair start a phone sex line together. The movie stars Ari Grainer as Katie Steele, Lauren Miller as Lauren Ann Miller, Justin Long, James Woke, and a few other folks that we don't need to talk about right now. It's really about the two lead characters here. So, guys, what do you think of this movie?
Well, for me, this is Welcome to a Dirty Sweet BFF Extravaganza. This is Girl Crush done to the nth degree. Great premise and full of laughs. I really enjoyed this one.
For me, it's a pleasant movie, but it's very edentulous. It's kind of lacking teeth. I wish this movie for where it goes, it kind of holds back. I wish it had gone all the way. I understand that this movie is meant to be a very frothy, girly, pink little, you know, best friends forever kind of movie. And maybe that's the disconnect, is I wanted it to be something more than that movie. And the whole movie had kind of a feeling of dress up about me where, you know, people were putting on costumes of being something they were not, but were not fully committed to going there. But, you know, maybe this movie doesn't deserve all that psychoanalysis. For what it is, I had a good time. It was funny. It was hilarious. And it's well-meaning. So I can't fault it too much.
I do know what you mean about that kind of put-onness by the characters, but that was, the whole point. They were kind of outrageous, especially the one played by Ari Gaynor. The movie, I thought...
Who is based on a real character, we should add. So this is also a kind of an autobiographical movie on the real Lauren, correct?
Yes, it was, yeah.
And, you know, we were lucky enough to meet the two main characters and the lady that it's based upon. So it's interesting to me that this is based on a true story.
I mean, loosely based.
Of course.
The premise is there in that somebody actually had to earn their living this way.
Correct.
And it's actually quite a funny premise. But, you know, the movie has one hell of a potty mouth, but I guess a movie based on sex talk hotlines kind of has to. I really did enjoy this movie. I think it was funny where it needed to be. It was very, very sweet. In many ways, it was kind of a girl love story, and, you know, not in the sex talk way, but in the kind of, you know, BFFs forever. So with as a buddy movie, I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I had a smile on my face the entire time, and when I wasn't smiling, I was actually laughing hysterically. And clearly the audience were very much enjoying themselves. I mean, are there big fat holes in this? Hell yeah. But it was a really enjoyable movie, I think.
Yeah, I mean, make no mistake. I mean, this movie is completely unrealistic. I mean, it's 10 miles away from being anything close to being, you know, making a commentary about the status of, you know, phone sex operators.
Or even the business model.
Or even the business model. But you know, it's really going for this cute, funny kind of girly movie. And I think it kind of succeeds by that token. And yes, I think the movie is a lot of talk and no action, because it gets pretty nasty, pretty potty-mouthed with its language, but doesn't follow through with its actions, which, you know, again
if they depicted even a tenth of what they talked about on screen, I think we'd have to review that as porno wallas, because if you're referring to that, Yasti, I mean, the language is extremely strong, and they couldn't possibly hope to follow through with any of that stuff.
I mean, for me, there was enough filth and dirt in this, I mean, to be comfortable with, and I'm probably the prude of the group. But for me, I think what it did really well was straddle that line between dirty and sweet so well. And I think that's almost impossible to do sometimes. And despite the fact that there is some filth, Yasti, I think there's certainly enough for me. It was always followed by sweet and funny, and the main characters were just so endearing. I actually wanted to be their friend.
Yeah, I do want to talk about the friend part, because I think most movies of this kind always pit the two female characters against each other in relation to the guy who comes in between them and breaks their friendship apart. And this entire movie, it's not about some guy. It's really about the friendship between these two characters. And I think there's a little bit of braveness to doing that, where, you know, it's really about these two girls, you know, who start off really hating each other, who grow to kind of, you know, really love each other. And of course, it's silly and stupid and corny and cliched and all of that. But I like that it stuck with it and kind of stayed only with that. There was a suggestion a few places in the movie that their friendship was a little bit more than friendship. And I think that was a bit of a missed opportunity. It could have really gone... You know,
then it would have been ridiculous, Yasti.
I know.
I think Yasti's looking for another film. I think that's in the other section of Blockbuster Yasti.
But then why make these suggestions? It was very suggestive.
It's Labor Day weekend, you know.
You know, it's funny because I, for a movie that's as raunchy with its language, I viewed those suggestions quite innocently. So maybe it's my own particular naivete here. I think what made the movie work more than anything was just the on-screen chemistry between the two leads, because it was a very sitcom-y setup.
Yes.
And, you know, they had the relationship that could only exist in a sitcom, you know, almost like
It's a great observation. And I think, you know, again, you maybe also be referring to the fact of Justin Long's character was very sitcom-y.
Right, the way he popped in and out.
Yeah, yeah. And I love Justin Long in this, by the way. I think it was great to see him do something different.
I thought Ari Grainer in particular demonstrated some really great comedic timing here. And I think the eccentric nature of her character would have been really unbelievable had she not been as good as she was in that role.
Yeah, I think good female comedians are underrated. They're very hard to come by because it's very difficult to have the right comic timing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are very few. I mean, Isla Fisher is one of them. There are very few good comedic actors. And definitely Ari Grainer, you know, she seems to fall within that category. I mean, she's very good in this movie.
Yeah. Who's in What's Your Number?
Anna Faris. She's the other.
I mean, I think when you look at the movie itself, it felt a little bit derivative. And I did get undertones of kind of When Harry Met Sally and even a little bit of Lola Versus. And it's predictable. This was so predictable. But I just thought it was really funny and it really made me laugh. And the guy sitting next to me, he was laughing so much. I thought he almost peed his pants because he had to actually leave halfway through the movie and have a restroom break. But that, well, equally, I was worried that he'd got a little bit too excited from all of the phone stuff going on.
It wasn't that long a movie to need a restroom break. I think he went to relieve something other than his bladder.
Oh, stop.
No, because the language was really quite steamy. I mean, it certainly had me hot under the collar at times.
For me, it always felt like, you know, this group of people who just said, how crude can we be? You know, how vulgar can we be? And you know, gee, you know, what could be the thing I could say which would really make my mom turn pink? You know, and they went there. And, you know, good for them. You know, they were having fun with it.
Yeah. Okay. Anything more to say on this, or shall we wrap this one up? Let's wrap it up in a nice pink bow. Yazdi.
That's what my notes state. I mean, this movie is pink and it's fluffy and it's got bow ties and, you know, it has absolutely no dark underbelly to speak of. In fact, even its underbelly is pink and it's fluffy and it's bow ties. So this movie is a complete girly movie. It is, you know, 10 miles away from reality, but it's fun. It's pleasant. I enjoyed it. I think a certain demographic will get a lot more out of it than I did. I still give it 6 out of 10.
Only 6?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Joe?
And I do want to make a shout out to, again, there is this feeling of homegrownness to the movie where a group of people have just come together and made a movie on their own terms. They got together with this writer and just put it all together. So, you know, good for them.
That's because no sane studio would ever fund this premise. I mean, really, the way that this was put together, it was a very brave movie to do. So good on them. So let's get this straight in terms of my sum up. This is a one joke movie, you know, and the joke is, how can otherwise sweet and innocent roomies run a sex business? And they play this card over and over and over. And I think if you go into the movie looking for something more, you're going to get a little tired and maybe a little bored. But if you can deal with that fact, the likability of both actresses, the raunchy dialogue, and the comedic timing of everyone involved, you'll have as much fun of that as I did. And with that, I give it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, for me, the one thing it captured best having gone through this is what actually happens when girls live together. For a good time, don't call. Just go and see this darling movie that's really funny with some hilarious moments. I'm going to give this one a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
So our next movie is something completely different.
Lawless. Totally different.
I mean, it couldn't be more contrasting. We're going to talk about the movie Lawless.
Okay, so this is based on a novel written by Matt Bondurant, The Wettest County in the World. Lawless is the true story of the infamous Bondurant brothers, bootlegging siblings who made a run for the American dream in Prohibition-era Virginia. The loyalty of the three brothers is put to test against the backdrop of the nation's most notorious crime wave when they are threatened by a new deputy and other authorities who want a cut of their profits. So this is directed by John Hillcoat, and the screenplay is by Nick Cave. And this has got an amazing cast. Tom Hardy, Guy Pearce, Jason Clarke, Jessica Chastain, Iwawasikova, Gary Oldman, and Shia LaBeouf. So did this do it for you, Yazdi?
I can't tell because I haven't seen the movie.
That's right, you haven't.
Yeah, and I really wanted to. I couldn't make it for the screening, but I'm really, you know, I was trying to catch it yesterday, but didn't get a chance. But really anxious to hear what you guys have to say, because this is definitely on my run out and watch list.
Yes, I forgot that. Sorry, Yazdi. So, Joe, tell me what you thought.
It felt like a real missed opportunity. And I think if you discuss this with the filmmakers, they would probably feel that way too. This is obviously not what they had in mind when they envisioned the film, in my opinion. You can appreciate the individual elements, the story, the acting, the action, but they don't come together into something more. It's kind of like an undercooked curry. You know, you've got all the ingredients in there, but they haven't bound. They don't gel. It doesn't quite work.
I'm with you, Joe. Given the cast, this should have been an epic blow-your-mind movie. It wasn't. It simmered along, never quite bubbling or coming to climax. The story didn't seem cohesive and nothing really seemed to happen. There was just way too much overacting by both Shia LaBeouf and Guy Pearce.
Wow.
I mean, unlike you, Rashmi, I don't know really where it went wrong because, I mean, LaBeouf is clearly out of his league here, I think. It's a pity that so much of the movie had to be carried by him because he was the only one, I think, whose performance I had a hard time with. But I think where I struggled with it most was it didn't know what it wanted to be. You had these gangster moments, but you had these comedic moments, you had these romantic moments, and you had these dramatic moments, but none of them blended. And so you had this really confused, unsatisfactory mishmash of elements, which
absolutely
made me wonder what the hell I was watching.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll put it another way. It started off as a Western, but then it became a gangster movie, and then kind of became a Western again. Its point of view was so screwed up. I was almost wondering if a Transformer would show up.
I think this must have been a kick-ass script because, you know, the likes of Jessica Chastain and Shia LaBeouf and Tom Hardy and Guy Pearce and Mia Wasikowska. I mean, these are, you know, big-name actors. They all signed up for this. So it must have been an amazing script. So clearly something got lost in the translation from page to cinema. And maybe it's the choice of the tone of the movie or how it was handled, which is a shame because, like you said, Joe, you have all the ingredients for a great curry and it tastes awful.
The story's even good. I mean, I can't complain that the story is not a good one. I enjoyed the experience of learning what happened to these characters as we went through the movie. So I can't even kind of knock the movie for not having, you know, an excellent script because I think it was. It's just something about the way that the movie was handled.
It seemed unfocused. Like I said, I think it didn't know whether it wanted to pursue a Western theme like, you know, No Country for Old Men or, you know, it really captured that Western feel. And then it suddenly changed this gangster movie and we had, you know, the likes of great Gary Oldman and he was good in what he did, but it didn't gel with that kind of romantic theme that's going on in the background and, you know, this invincibility that Tom Hardy's character is supposed to have. And each of the characters, you know, each of the actors, I think, really acted their hearts out, but it just never amounted to anything significant or memorable.
Which is a pity. And I think the reviews for this one are fairly mixed. I think it's just about carrying a red tomato and Rotten Tomatoes, so it's crossed that 60% threshold. It could have been so much more. And I think as I came out of that movie, I was thinking this should have been an epic gangster movie. It had everything that you needed for it.
I mean, I'll say one good thing. The one thing that was very impressive in this movie was the cinematography. I mean, the scenery and the production was beautiful. And there's one scene, Joe, I don't know if you remember it, where Jessica Chastain is in this red dress against a whitish background. That took my breath away. The vistas and the scenery was just amazing. So that's the only good thing I could find to say about this movie.
Is there anyone in particular who is miscast or underused? I mean, this is a very high-profile cast. Like, I mean,
Shia LaBeouf. Shia LaBeouf was such a letdown.
I'm so over Shia LaBeouf.
Ugh,
I'm so over to put him.
And now he's doing one called Nymphomaniac, I think.
I think.
Yeah.
The thing with Shia LaBeouf is that he thinks he's a better actor than he is, and I really don't like to criticize people who obviously take their craft as passionately and seriously as he does because he obviously dedicates himself and he throws himself
into
these roles.
And he's a method
actor.
You know, he's one of these so-called method actors.
But, you know, like, there are some movies where Leo just goes over the top, Leonardo DiCaprio, and just he overplays it. He's too shouty. He's too passionate. You know, there are scenes in this movie where, you know, LaBeouf just gets too excited. So I think the inauthentic nature of the portrayal throws you out of the movie, and his role is really the central character. I mean, the whole movie is done from his perspective, so maybe that's the problem here. I think the fact that we couldn't buy Shia LaBeouf, you know, Guy Pearce is a fabulous actor here, but he's really given this, you know, slimy, overblown performance.
No eyebrows.
And, you know, I get that this character is supposed to be this horrific bad guy, but yeah, no eyebrows. I mean,
what's that about?
So maybe it's a little overcooked.
No eyebrows and gloves.
Tom Hardy was harder to understand than Bane in this movie, which is bizarre because he's not wearing a mask. But one of these characters' key kind of signature behaviors is this little grunting noise. He does this, and as a consequence, he does the whole speech like that. And I promise you,
he would have actually been good in for a good time call. With that grunting.
He would have been, yeah. He could have been one of the guys on the phone. But no, I mean, did you not find him hard to understand? And I'm not trying to promote Dark Knight Rises here again, but he was really hard to understand. I was like, is this Tom Hardy or is this Bane? Everyone gave Christopher Nolan stick for this guy being hard to understand. He was really hard to understand.
I didn't know. I could understand him. The problem I had was he still had Bane's body in a cardigan, in a sweater. And that was really strange for me.
Yeah.
But I do want to give props to Jason Clarke, who plays one of the brothers, actually the middle brother of the three. He was actually wonderful in this movie. His performance, I think, was standout to me.
Yeah, for me, it was Jessica Chastain, but she's always brilliant.
She's always brilliant. She's ethereal. She was so beautiful in this movie.
Absolutely. Mia Wasikowska didn't really have that much to do, so, you know,
she was still period woman, you know, I shouldn't say it like that. She was, you know, woman in a costume.
A little bit cranky, perhaps.
She was, you know, just, here's another role where she's in a costume. All right, let's, Yazdi, anything, have we put you off seeing this one?
Yeah, pretty much. Maybe I'll just wait for the DVD release. I give it 5 bananas.
Yeah, 5 bananas in the absence of seeing it. We haven't had a banana score for ages.
Well, there you have it. The banana score makes a comeback. 5 bananas for Lawless.
So for newer listeners, that's Yazdi's random score assignment when he hasn't seen a movie.
Based on our feedback.
I don't know. It's always based on our feedback. I think he just gives bananas as he sees fit. So 5 bananas for this one.
Okay, Joe.
For me, oh gosh. I enjoy movies. I don't think we can do movie wallahs without enjoying movies. And even the not so good ones, you know, are enjoyable experiences. So to say I hated this movie is too much of an overstatement. I think my review may have said that, but it was just okay. And I think it just stunk of missed opportunity. I'm just going to give this one a 6 out of 10. And that's a very generous 6 out of 10 because of all the potential, but I wish I could give it more.
This is more lifeless than Lawless, with much heart missing that would have made this film move from very average to amazing. This is a great example of great acting for the most part that didn't quite gel and come together to produce anything great. I'm actually going to, I almost wanted to give this one a 4, but it seems like they worked so hard, I'm actually going to give it a 5.
I mean, the other bit, I think I mentioned this when we talked about the movie earlier, but you know, for me, The Wettest County in the World is one of the most evocative titles ever. It gives me immediately a picture about some lushness, and it's so beautiful. And that was the name of the book on which it's based. That was the original name of the movie. And somewhere along the way, somebody changed it to a very generic, lawless title. So maybe that again speaks to poor adaptation of the source material in general.
Yeah, and it's interesting, Yazdi, that you say that because the posters actually have Shia LaBeouf's face with this grizzly overgrown beard, which actually I thought looked pretty good. We don't even see that beard, doesn't make an appearance. So somewhere in the editing room, not only did they cut the scenes with the beard, but they cut his beard maybe.
Yeah, I think at some point somebody realized that this wasn't going to be this, you know, amazing movie. And so they figured out how are we going to market this, because The Wettest County in the World is a bit of a marketing nightmare, I think. Unless you know what they're referring to, that it's a prohibition-related story, you can pick up the book and look at the back of the, you know, to see the summary of it. The Wettest County in the World, you know, I thought it could be a story about weather in Britain. I mean, you know, I think that was one of the decisions there. The Shia LaBeouf thing is interesting, Rashmi, because obviously they've done some market research here to try and see how they can get people in. But Lawless was a weak title for all the reasons you mentioned, Yazdi. It didn't even fit the film. I mean, there wasn't this sense of lawlessness. There was very much a sense of there was corruption within the police force, but you didn't feel like you were dealing with, you know, a county where things had gone wrong or people weren't following laws, or just a really odd decision.
Bummer. I was so excited to see this one because of the cast.
All right. Mail at movierollers.com for your feedback. Twitter.com/movierollers. Facebook.com/movierollers as well. I hope you're checking out our website and posting as much as you can. We can interact with you, as always, on our Facebook site. So let us know what you're watching, stuff that you'd like to see us cover on the show as well. Until our next show, good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.